Time to catch up with the man who knows everything astronomical. It's Dave Renicky, Astro Dave, as we call him. Check out DaveRenicky.com for all the guff we're about to talk about. And everyone is talking about this black hole in the centre of the Milky Way. And we've touched on this. I mean, we've known there's been something there for a long time, David.
Yeah, good morning, Bilko. Good to be with you again. Keep me in line with this one. Just keep me in check. I can get carried away when you talk about it.
Why does everyone get excited about these photos? Because aren't black holes impossible to photograph? This is the question.
No, they're not. We never did think they were, but having the capability of doing it's another thing. We've known about the black hole in the middle of our galaxy for a long time. We can see the effects of it. You can see stars and planets being pulled into it. But black holes are an enigma. They're a real mystery. We don't fully understand what's inside there, and we probably never will. It's like trying to unravel a puzzle that has no end to it, because there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason why these things exist. They are the most potent, dangerous, powerful objects in the universe, and the one at the centre of our galaxy has now just been photographed. And when I say just been photographed, we've seen it before. You don't see a black hole, you see the outside edge of it. Because anything that goes inside a black hole never comes out, and that includes light. So X-rays are emitted from a black hole. That's how we pick them up with radio telescopes. We know there's something there, but they also give off an incandescence, a heat signature, or a light signature, if you will, around the outside edge of a black hole. Because as matter gets pulled into a black hole, the black hole is spinning very quickly, even at luminal speeds, close to the speed of light. And that's why the photograph appears not as clear as what you would expect. People are saying, how come it's blurry? Well, you try and take a photograph of a car moving past you, or an aeroplane flying by at 600k an hour, and just see how good you go. The equipment being used here is cutting edge, but it's not the best you're ever going to get. It's as close as we can get. And doing a stop frame on this thing is going to show you a little bit of movement. Look, it's a beautiful photograph. It shows you the outside of a black hole. And we're talking about a donut. And when you look at the size of this image, it would equate to about the same size you're looking at the moon in the sky from your backyard. So it's a fairly sizable sort of a thing. But the interesting part about it, no one has really mentioned this. I don't think anyone knows too much about it. But this was not taken with one radio telescope or one optical telescope. It was taken by the whole planet. Okay, I'll explain.
The entire planet Earth, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. They've used all the telescopes in the system that they've got here around the globe to form one gigantic telescope.
Okay.
In other words, all the information has been, and all the telescopes used here have been focused on the moon at the same time. Then all of a sudden, at the same instant, and we're talking millions and millions and millions and zillions of microseconds, the shutters were shot, and the pic was taken, and then more. So they've used a telescope equivalent to the size of the Earth, if you will. The only way you're going to get an image like that. It's amazing to look at this thing and realize that this is the end of everything. Nothing survives a black hole.
And the worry is it going to eventually eat through our entire galaxy? I mean, people are thinking apocalypse and all that sort of stuff, but it'll happen very slowly, of course.
Well, that's what's happening now. Everything we look at is being pulled into the black hole. Everything close to the black hole is being pulled further and further into it. In time, if you waited long enough, and it lasted long enough, but it won't, everything would be sucked into that black hole, and it would just start floating through space as a freestanding black hole. And we've seen them before. But that's going to take a long time. In 5 billion years' time, when none of this could ever happen in that short amount of time, but in 5 billion years, we're going to merge with another galaxy.
Oh.
And the whole thing's going to change.
We won't be the Milky Way. We could be the Milky Andromeda. Is it Andromeda we're going to merge with?
And those black holes will simply merge into a supermassive black hole. But for the time being, let's sort of clap hands and cheer the fact that we've now got the impossible photograph. And it's a prediction that Einstein made 100 years ago. He never knew what a black hole was, but he theorized they were there. So this is a black hole. Now, the interesting thing about a black hole that your listeners would like to pour a moment and think about, we talk about science fiction movies and stories, and this is the favourite bane of them, isn't it? Writers love black holes.
Oh, they think they're going to suck everything into it, and you go back in time, and you go to another universe and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great to think about, isn't it? But when you, if it was possible to orbit a black hole, and theoretically you could, and you had a crew of people on board that spacecraft, here's what's going to happen. No time would pass for them. No time. Time would stand still for them.
We wouldn't age, is that what you're saying?
They wouldn't age because huge gravitational fields retard time, same as high speed does. So a black hole, the event horizon of a black hole, which is what we're looking at, would be a place where you might spend a year there, 12 months to you. You might calculate your time passing as 1 year. But if you left that black hole and return back to your home planet, you'd find it's probably advanced 300 years.
And that's the scary thing. You never see any of your friends or family again.
No. It's got its drawbacks. You can't go back, but you would, theoretically, possible to travel into the future.
Wow. More of that at davidrenicki.com and some great photos too if you want to have a look at that one. I'm interested in this story, David. The mystery door, anything to do with Mars gets me excited because we know there was an atmosphere once, an ocean, so you tend to think there must have been some sort of life there in whatever form. The mystery door, what is this?
They're playing hell with this on the internet. All the conspiracy theorists are onto it. The Curiosity rover on May 7 took a photograph of Mars, and Mars is a place that's got problems with its rocks and its structure and the way the rocks are formed and the way they sit. But the whole planet is full of rocks. It's like a, well, it's like the outback of Australia all over. And they've taken a photograph of what appears to be, and it looks pretty much like it, a doorway dug into a hillside on Mars. And when you look at it, you think, oh, my gosh, it does look like somebody's built, and it looks like a doorway, and you can go inside there. But we've got to be careful because we were fooled with the face on Mars in the late 70s, you may remember, or the early 80s. That face on Mars turned up on the front page of every newspaper.
Yeah. Did that Von Daniken guy weigh in on that? Was that something he was talking about?
Yeah, they all did, and we realised that after we went over it again with other orbiting satellites to take more photos, was only the shape of the rocks and the way that the sunlight fell on the rocks. So this is the same thing.
So could it just be a cave, and there's a shadow of light falling into the entrance?
No, it's not. It's only a formation, a geological formation in the rock. Now, how big do you think that may be, that when you look at that, when you saw that photo, what would you think?
I would say it's the size of a human being, but it's probably smaller, is it?
30 centimetres by 45.
Oh, okay, it's tiny.
Yeah, but when you look at the photograph, they've blown it up, Bill Cohen, it looks big. So be careful with this one. And just to finish this off, it's a process that human beings fail at, and it's called pareidolia. You want to look it up. It's the same thing as lying back on a Sunday arvo with your favourite glass of milk and looking up at the clouds there and seeing, well, it looks like a rabbit. Well, look at that one. It looks like a ship.
Okay.
But there's a face there. It's making, supposing you see things that aren't really there.
All right. More at that. If you want to look at the story, look at davidrenicki.com. There's a great photo there, but take it with a grain of salt, as he says. I want to know about this. I heard during the week, I'm not sure if the Chinese were involved in this, but did they grow some kale or something in moon soil brought back from Apollo? Did I read correctly about that?
Yeah, it is, actually. The Chinese Chang'e 5 mission has delivered moon dust, and what they've done here, the Chinese are good at this. By electrolyzing the soil with water from the moon, we can create oxygen and hydrogen. But this is really amazing. We didn't know you could do that. We knew the water was there and we could extract from it.
Yeah.
But research is now looking at designing a system that can combine these two. On Mars, on the moon, we can have a little factory of water and soil creating oxygen for rocket fuel. What an amazing place this is. We left the moon in 1972 thinking there's nothing there. But by electrolyzing the lunar soil with water, and also from the astronaut's life support system too, that byproduct that's coming out of that, like the drips, they can create oxygen and hydrogen. So a moon base is going to require no external energy source. It's all there, other than the sunlight, of course, that could help. So a moon base, a self-running moon base, and one built from the material on the moon is looking quite possible.
And that's probably the better way to go. Use the raw materials that are there. We'd have to transport everything up from the planet. And likewise, I mean, look, it's probably more lucrative to take materials from the moon to the Earth down the track if we can get some sort of ore carriers.
Very expensive,
the space elevator or something. I mean, that could be a possibility. But again,
well, it's currently $10,000 for every pound you launch.
Okay.
So if you can reduce your cost there, you're in front.
Fantastic. More at davidrenicki.com. And I should ask you about this, David, too, because you have a one-time holiday offering, but you've also got a free trip for the organiser involved. You have to explain this because there's some freebies involved with this competition on your website.
Yeah, we don't have much time for this. So if anyone's interested in your state, we'd love to get you to come along. We've had some interest already, but unfortunately with COVID, with all sorts of things going on in the world, tourism has slowed down and we've been affected like everyone else does. What my partner and I are offering very quickly, if anyone wants to come along for our August trip, we've only got a week or so to do this.
Okay.
We'll give you the trip for free if you can organise, about maybe up to a dozen people.
Bonus.
Eight or ten people.
Bonus.
So if you're Rotary Apex or Lodge or anything like that, if anyone's listening now and they want to do that, we will give the organiser a free return trip to come along with us for a seven-day holiday, fly drive holiday all included. And we do astronomy on the island, a beautiful place to do it. So the offer's there. Bill Carr, if anyone listening wants to go to my website and have a look, davidrenicki.com. Just give me a call on that one. DavidRenicke.com.
Got the links up on our socials now if people want to look at that one. And 100 free tickets in the telescope raffle. What's that about? Is that sort of
everyone
an adjunct?
Everyone who comes along, we're going to throw 100 free tickets into a giant telescope raffle as well. We want to go there. We want to make this a success. So we're giving everyone who signs up 100 free tickets in our $1,000 telescope giveaway. We're going to do it again in November, of course. So if you're not keen on August, we've got till the end of the year. But we're not sure whether we can extend the free trip at the end of the year. Anyway, it's good to talk to you about it. Thank you for the offer.
That's all right. And how lucky are you? Two trips to Norfolk in the 1 year, if that's possible. That's pretty good.
Look, I can tell you quite honestly right now, don't tell anyone about this. Just close your mic down.
Yeah.
I could live there. I like it. I loved it that much. Honestly, it would be a place that I think I could live or go to and stay on. Maybe not now, but maybe in a few years' time when I get really, really old.
Yeah. Are you going to use it to retire, are you?
It is a great place. You lay back and the world just disappears over.
Oh, it's amazing. I've seen so many pictures and it looks very rustic. I don't know if I could cope not being away from civilization, but for a man like yourself, immersed in the sky, probably
it's
would.
It's like Australia 30 years ago. It's so laid back, yeah. You don't lock your doors. You leave your keys and your ignition in your car. It's crazy.
Have a look at David's website. There's details on there. Mate, till next week, my friend.
Talk to you then. Bye.